Yeah. We have now come to that time of our service where we remember the great and loving sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the recognition and the taking of the Lord's Supper, the bread, which represents the body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood on the cross. When we go to Scripture and look in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 19 and 20, it reads, "And he took the bread, and gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Scriptures also tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, that as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are to examine ourselves to be worthy. When partaking of this communion, we are proclaiming his death till he comes. At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we come to you this morning thanking you ever so much for your son, Jesus, who died on that cruel cross at Calvary for the remission of sin. Father, we humbly ask that you will bless the bread and all who wish to partake of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord in heaven, we humbly bow to you again, thanking you for your son Jesus and his shed blood on the cross, the blood that saves. Father, we ask that you bless the cup which represents that blood. And Father, we humbly ask that you bless this service of remembrance unto thee, that it is decent and in order and well-pleasing in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
There is.
Scripture this morning will be taken from John chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Shall we pray? Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for this day and for your blessings. As we open your word once again, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We pray that we apply what has been taught to our lives, and Lord, continue to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we get into our lesson, once again, I have an important announcement to make to the members concerning the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. If you have not received your worship service reopening guidelines, please contact one of the elders. Again, please understand how important it is that you read all the guidelines and be prepared to follow them. Once again, we thank you in advance for your cooperation. This morning, we're going to be talking on the subject, God's love. From John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And I believe that this to be the greatest verse in all the Bible. It is the best loved and best known verse, John 3:16. There are only 25 words in this verse, yet no other single verse in all the scriptures has been a blessed in the salvation of so many souls. It has been called the gospel in a nutshell. It has been called a love letter from God written in blood and addressed to all. If ever there was a verse that Satan would love to blot out of the Bible, it would be John 3:16. If ever there was a verse that makes hell tremble, it is John 3:16. If ever there was a verse that has lightened the path to heaven for multitudes, it is John 3:16. For in it we see God's grace, for God so loved the world, God's gift, that he gave his only begotten Son, God's gospel, that whosoever believeth in him, God's glory, but have everlasting life. There are many ways to look at this verse, but a few minutes this morning I want to look at some of the words of this great verse. First of all, let's start out by saying, for God, in John 3:16, begins as the Bible begins, with the existence of God taken for granted. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, he says, in the beginning, God. But then we see in Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The whole Bible stands on belief in God. There cannot be a here without a there. There cannot be an upper without a lower. There cannot be a before without an after. There cannot be a creation without a creator. The Bible says that this God so loved. What is love? It cannot be defined in words. The word loved occurred 56 times in the book of John. The dictionary says love is to have a feeling, affection, or regard for, to be strongly attached to or attracted toward, to hold dear. There are also synonyms like affection, charity, devotion, fondness, liking, and passion. And all of these definitions are weak when defining the word love. The difficulty becomes greater when you add the word so. God so loved. So love surpasses illustrations. Many have tried to apply it to the love of a mother for her child. The mind of man will never grasp the love of God. All we can say is the love of God is uncaused, uninfluenced. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Hills is an everlasting, unending love with no beginning. God had no beginning, so his love had no beginning. All earthly love had a beginning, but God's love reaches back to before the world, was as well as forward to when all mountains are but dust. God's love is infinite, unbounded. But then he says, God so loved the world. The word world is found 77 times in John. This is not talking about the matter world or the world system, but the world people. The greatest love of man or woman is love of self. What a narrow love that is. Talking about the world, in fact, most people find it difficult to love all their relatives. But God has found it possible with his great heart of love to love every individual in the entire world in spite of his faults. Our world needs to understand that all lives matter to God. God loves all colors, all individuals, all social groups. All God loved a world of saints, no, a world of sinners. He loves the sinners, not the sin, the criminal, not the crime, the rebel, not the rebellion, the liar, not the lie. But he says that he gave. The world knows a little about giving, but God's giving costs something. Most of the giving we know about his is giving that really has no element of sacrifice in it. But God did not give the cattle on 1,000 hills of silver and gold. He gave all he had in the person of his son. He gave means suffering. When we think a lot about the suffering of the son, but have you ever thought about the suffering of the father? Could you stand in a window of your house and watch an angry mob spit on, beat, abuse, and kill your son with the power to stop it? God could have stopped it, but he gave because of his love for us. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son. Here is a word of relationship. David was a son to King Saul in 1 Samuel 26, verse 21 through 25, by association. But God the Father is called Father not because of relationship to his creatures, but because of his relationship to his son. But then he says that whosoever, this means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All need a Savior. It means any who will. It means those who believe. And it means you and I. That whosoever believeth. The word believe, with its various endings, occur 100 times in John. Believeth denies salvation by any other way but by faith. It denies works, even good works, as a means of salvation. Look at the context of our text and you'll find Nicodemus. Nicodemus was educated. He was rich, moral, religious, a do-gooder, a church member, intelligent, but not saved. Jesus told him in John 3 and verse 3, ye must be born again. The doors of heaven swing on this experience. We are saved by faith and not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. But then he says, in him. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 and 1 John 5 and verse 12 shows us that salvation is in a person and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not found in believing in the preacher, the church, a good Christian, but in Christ. But then he says, should not perish. Men of the old world perished, but Noah was spared. People of Sodom perished, but Lot was spared. The firstborn of Egypt perished, but Israel was spared. Jericho's citizens perished, but Rahab was spared. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish eternally in hell, but make heaven their eternal home. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But then finally, whosoever shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Life is mentioned 36 times in the book of John. Notice the verse begins with God and ends with life. Everlasting life is not just eternal existence, because if that was the case, the devil and all sinners would have it. What is everlasting life? It is having Jesus. He said, I am the life. In John 14 and verse 6, the Bible says life is in the Son, and whosoever has the Son has life. 1 John 5 and verse 12. John 11 and 25 said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 1 and verse 4 said, in him was life. Eternal life is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, and Christ living in me, Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if you're listening and have not obeyed the gospel, what is the gospel? Is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Once you hear the word of the gospel, you got to believe it to be true. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. The Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2, 47. The church that he built, Matthew 16 and verse 18. Purchased with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. He is the head, the Savior, he loved it. And he's coming back for it, Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 27. Then you got to live faithfully under death, Revelations 2 and verse 10. If you're already a child of God, you're straight away. You've not been living as a Christian should. Or if you desire prayer, want to know more about the Church of Christ, whatever your desire is, call us at 734-482-4922. Or you can call the building and leave a message, 734-483-1864. Because we're here to assist you in any way that we can. We have two more songs and a closing prayer.
Oh, Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your oversight and care for us during the recent weeks while we have all been dealing with the COVID-19 virus and the many problems and challenges that it has brought with it. We ask that you continue to watch over us and that you keep us safe from this evil virus as we continue to put our faith in you and your Son. We realize that you are not the cause of this pandemic, and we understand that you have allowed it to come by into our world for reasons that are only known by you. We pray, as always, that your will be done in all things. Father, we are also very concerned with all the civil rights unrest that we have witnessed during the last week, and not only in our country, but in other countries as well. May our political and law enforcement leaders look to you for guidance so that the use of violence and destruction are eliminated and replaced by actions of peace and respect for all mankind. Thank you for Sunday morning sermons and for the Wednesday evening Bible classes that Skippy has shared with us during the last few months. They have been very uplifting and very much needed. We commend all who have been participating in these weekly services, and we pray that everyone's efforts are pleasing to you as well. Father, we know that you are mindful of our members who understand that their faithful giving needs to continue during these trying times. Continue to bless us all as we faithfully offer our money and our talents to serve you. Father, we pray for all who are now facing physical, economical, and spiritual problems. We ask that you look down on all who seek your help and their concerns, with their concerns. May we continue to look for opportunities to help each other and then do what we can to help. May we never forget that you are always by our side in the good times and in the bad times as well. As we see signs that the current situation is improving, we continue to look forward to the day that is fast approaching when we all will assemble together to enjoy fellowship with each other once again while we worship you in spirit and in truth. As we close this prayer, we want to truly thank you for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on the cruel cross of Calvary, so that we may have a better life while living on this earth, and so that we may have an opportunity to live with you in heaven forever and ever. We love you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. Amen.